Hey, this is Otacon. You're listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew right here on thisweekingeek.net. Are you listening? Snake? Snake? Snake!
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype, joined by, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm Jamie Johnson, and I'm joined by...
It's so salty! Sorry, I'm trying to scrape this crap off my tongue. I'm Mike Dodd!
Okay, so for anyone that doesn't know, Mike has just eaten the pretzel pizza from, where'd you say it was?
Little Caesars.
Little Caesars pretzel pizza. So I guess the crust is made of pretzel and, well, pretzels have salt.
Oh my
Apparently
God.
It's like eating a salt lick.
You know what? It's not bad. It's good. The problem is there's too much of it. And I know it's only a medium pizza from Little Caesars, which is probably about as wide as your hand, I guess. But, oh my God. So this entire episode, I will be drinking ridiculous amounts of water. So I don't get water retention or something. Just blah, 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 blah. My lips feel so weird because I can still taste salt. I'm good, though. I am good. How are you?
It sounds like I'm better than you. I guess. I mean... I can't complain compared to what you're going through.
That threw me off, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, so in this episode of The Prototype, now we are originally going to talk about game streamers, but we kind of decided it was a little too close to our YouTube show. However, though, I wouldn't mind spending the opening couple minutes talking about game streaming, considering we're both doing it now.
This is true.
Over the weekend, I decided to get the PlayStation 4 camera, which at launch, this thing was near impossible to find. Now it's relatively easy. And I've been streaming for a while over my Xbox One. My channel is twitch.tv/TheBirdmanDodd. And I discovered streaming via PlayStation is retardedly easy. You literally go into the game, you press the share button if you have your accounts linked up through the share thing. It's one-touch broadcast. I cannot believe how easy that is. And for some reason, it seems like a much cleaner interface than the Xbox One version is. It has your display picture on the right-hand side in the upper right-hand corner. And then people can type to you in the chat, and you have the option to turn on the video, or if you just want to do audio, which I typically tend to do. And I don't know, man, I just had a great experience, and I find more people watch me on PlayStation 4 as opposed to Xbox One, because normally I stream Titanfall. I'm almost generation 10 now. I'm so close.
We really need to get around to playing that together sometime.
Yes, I would like you to catch up with me.
Oh. Now it's a competition. I'm going to have to reach Gen 10 before you.
But say, I've played over 900 games. This is both awesome and sad. But... But the community manager for Titanfall likes my stuff, so he keeps promoting my tweets, which I think is pretty funny, actually. Game streaming, surprisingly fun. I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff for the charity marathon. I'll talk about that in just a minute. So, Jamie, what about your experiences with streaming?
I've been doing a lot of streaming of PC games. I've been playing a lot of... Like, basically, if I'm playing a game, I'm either streaming it or I turn off the stream because I just don't... I feel like swearing a lot. So I'll turn off the stream and just be like, hey, if nobody's watching right now, I'm going to take like an hour break. So sometimes my channel won't be up, but, I'm also streaming through Twitch, twitch.tv/Dovaz, D-O-V-A-Z. I play a lot of Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls, over the last week. I've kind of gotten burnt out on it. So I've been playing Final Fantasy 14 and, I've actually been playing some Halo 4 with a buddy of mine. So unlike you, I'm not using the built-in hardware from a PS4 or an Xbox One. I'm actually using the Roxio HD captured third-party hardware, which used to give me horrible, horrible issues, but they've had an update for it, and it's not as much of a pain in the ass. It's mostly supposed to be plug and play. You link your account and then you're good to go. So, I mean, it's the only streaming hardware I've ever used, so I don't know whether there's better or if, like, this is actually really good. I don't know. So I also am using the OBS, Open Broadcast System. It's a free software that you can get to stream PC, anything on your screen. So you can do, if I was doing Photoshop, I could actually show people doing my drawings, all that stuff like that, which I might do in the future if people ask. But it's a fantastic software, especially because it's free. All you do is link your account, hit play or hit record, and it can do a stream for you directly to Twitch, or you can actually have it save the video so you can play your game and end up uploading it later to YouTube if you want from the same program, and you can actually have it do both at the same time. It can stream and record it. So it's just the most amazing program I've ever seen. I, once again, haven't had a lot of experience with other programs, but it was free, so...
I'm going to have to get you to send me a link to this later, actually, because I wouldn't mind streaming my, like, Walking Dead stuff, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be able to do the Walking Dead very easy, because it's all through Steam, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be able to just choose the Steam window, and it'll stream that, and then what you can do, you can just right-click the, like, profile... And you can add stuff, so you can add text, you can add video from another source, which for me, I have the laptop, so it allows me to stream me being silly through the actual camera on my laptop. But if you have a camera that's, you know, through USB or whatever, if you're a desktop user, you can do it that way too. Mm. The one issue that I've been having with streaming is that when I play games, I love to listen to music, and looking into a lot of the rules, you're not allowed to stream music while, like, because, you know, copyright. And it's one of a couple of the hoops that I've been trying to go through without... I don't want to catch any attention of the law, right?
Yeah.
And I'm learning a lot about the law because it's like, so many things can screw you for copyright if they catch you and are upset about it. So I've been learning ways to play music without it actually going through the stream. Have you had any issues with that? I guess you don't really listen
yeah.
to music while you're playing.
I find video quality is a bit of an issue because up here in Canada, our internet sucks compared to everybody else's. So sometimes when I'm streaming PS4 stuff, if I'm doing something where I'm moving really fast, the stream tends to get a little blocky. I found this happens most often with Infamous First Light, because I'm playing as Fetch, and with her neon power, she runs in the streets super, super quick, so... but still, other than that...
Well, that might... Like, what's your upload?
Oh, fuck if I know. I'm just paying... I'm paying for the best internet available through Rogers. That's all yeah. I know.
Well, I know with internet providers in Canada, you can get some... major variance in what you get for download and upload, especially with the caps that we have. US people are very lucky. They don't have this yet. I've heard rumors that they might end up start doing this where they cap your internet. You can only have like 300 gigabytes a month or less, usually less in Canada. But a lot of times our upload is actually very minuscule compared to American companies. I personally have paid... I pay outrageous amounts of money per month for my internet, and I have a 10 megabyte upload with a 150 download. So my streams are generally pretty good. I don't experience too much lag, but that could also be hardware. I don't know how strong the PS4 and Xbox One are for streaming while playing the game, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of load on the processor and everything. So it might look choppy because of that, or it might be the internet. It's one of those two.
I'm actually just trying to look up what I have for internet. I have the Ultimate. I'm trying to think. That's not right.
It's very expensive, the high-end stuff for Rogers. So yeah, might not have that one. And also, I don't think Shelburne can get the highest one, because the highest one, I think, runs on the fiber optics or whatever, so you can't get it in Shelburne.
I don't know. I'm actually just trying to check this out, so give me a moment, because I'm really curious.
All right.
Mike needs to know things. Other than that, though, I guess trying to think of what else. We are going to an event this week in Toronto.
X14.
Which should be pretty good. Yeah, evidently, I only have 250 down, and upload is 20.
Oh, so you should be way better than mine.
Yeah, so
maybe it's the hardware.
Yeah, it's just, well, that and the time of night, too, when I attend the broadcast. But anyway, moving on. Yeah, so we're going to go to X14, which is a Microsoft... Think of it as a mini E3, or more like the holiday kind of preview showing what's going to be coming out for the Xbox.
Just for Xbox, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there are a lot of third-party developers there, but they tend to focus a lot on the Microsoft-backed studios. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure what we're going to be seeing there this year. I would guess Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed, probably the Halo Collection.
I found it really interesting that they're doing this, like, what is it, Wednesday? So that's one day after Destiny launches. So it's like, hey, all the guys that are going to review our stuff, review Destiny for us, let's make them not play Destiny and come to this event. Where I'm sure most reviewers are like, no, I want to play Destiny right now.
Yeah, there's a few people that are playing Destiny right now. I know Angry Joe's doing it because he's got something up on his YouTube channel. I haven't received my download code for it yet, so I'm probably going to be reviewing Destiny on the PS4 if I do get a code at all. I'm probably not going to buy the game, though.
Sadly, like, I've been really thinking about Destiny. Like, if I actually want it or not, because I played the beta, and the beta did not sell me, because it looks like it's going to be a good game, but only good. It's got so many things that are great about it, but so many negatives as well. They proclaimed this game to be, like, huge, like, immensely massive, an MMO, basically. And from all the levels, the list of levels... It just doesn't seem like there's going to be as... Like, I know how people play games. I know how I play games. I would grind through that many levels within probably a week, and then I could be bored. Because the way the game is set up, it's similar to an MMO, where you grind, you get better weapons and stuff. There might be stuff to do for up to a month, but they want this to last 10 years, and their first expansion is not going to be in a month. So I'm just not sold on it yet. So I kind of want to play a copy before I actually buy a copy.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, I don't know. I'm kind of wishy-washy with it. But you know what? We've been yipping for 15 minutes here. We should probably tell people what the hell we're actually going to be talking about today.
Well, today's a Disney-inspired video game day. So basically, any games that have been made by Disney since, the dawn of... Disney video games. And we're going to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly that we know of. And there's a ton that, from researching this, that we didn't even know existed. So.
Where do we even begin to start with this? I mean, it's weird because I look at some of the games that Disney's made, and I'm looking at the list on Wikipedia, which is by no means complete. But I completely forgot they made games based on live-action series, too. So there's Hannah Montana games. I forgot there was... I think there's a video game for The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody and Wizards of Waverly Place and all this shit.
There's some interesting things that I would never play.
Well, it's one of those things where Disney games I find are almost all either really good or really bad. Like, when I think of good Disney games, I think of DuckTales, Chip and Dale, The Little Mermaid, Lion King, Aladdin. And I look at some other games that should have been better, like Epic Mickey 2, The Power of One, Tron Evolution, which I went out and rebought because I like Tron, and I hated the game the first time around. Actually, that's one of the first times I ever got into a public spat with another journalist.
Really?
Yeah, there's a guy...
Over Tron.
He works for CTV. He's a pretty well-known dude. We run a lot in the same circles. I'm not going to name drop him. But he's like, Tron Evolution is the best game I played this year. Rabble, 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 rabble. And this was in 2010. And I think I remember saying to him over Twitter, I'm like, if this is the most exciting game you've played all year, I'd like to introduce you to something that also involves shapes and colors. Here's a coloring book. I was like, oh my god. Now, I will give it one thing. Tron Evolution has a really cool sound design, but the gameplay is just sorely lacking. And you're probably saying, oh, but you're a hypocrite. You rebought it. Yes. Yes, I am. I guess, I don't know.
It's always great to call yourself a hypocrite.
Oh, yeah. I will gladly call myself on my shit whenever I do something stupid. I don't know. I mean, I had this huge, grid-sized boner for Tron, 2 years ago. And it's just, I don't know. I just really dig Tron. And now that I have this new kick-ass TV, I really want to rewatch Tron Legacy and just see all the purdy colors and all that stuff. So, I don't know. I'm still waiting for the third Tron movie to happen, which I'm hoping. 2015, come on. I'm trying to think of other really good Disney games. Aladdin is one of those games that was really good across both its ports, and that was for the Genesis and the Super Nintendo.
And it's actually funny, because anytime there is a multi-platform console, generally it's just a port. It's made for one console and then ported to another, or at least made very similar by the same company. But the Aladdin game for Super Nintendo, as well as the one made for Genesis, was made by two different companies and are completely different. The Super Nintendo one having better audio, if I remember correctly, and the Sega Genesis one looking a little bit better. But
switch that around, because
I
think how it works is the Super Nintendo could display up to 32,000 colors, where I think the Genesis could do 768 or something. It was something very specific, and I know it was under 1,000, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Although, and I think the Genesis had a better sound device in it.
Yeah, which is funny, because I always thought sound sounded better on the Super Nintendo, but that may be nostalgic fanboy glasses speaking there.
I don't think it's that it sounded better. It was more that developers used the sound on it to a better extent, versus the Genesis had the ability to produce better sound, but there was a lot of games on the Genesis where actually they would have voices and stuff in it, whereas the Super Nintendo, it was like a simulated voice. I think that's kind of the difference, but the thing is when you simulate it, if you do it well, it's still going to sound better than the actual thing. So with these two games, Aladdin on the Super Nintendo was more of a platformer, whereas the Genesis version actually worked more on swordplay. And I know there has been just a debate for years as to which one is better. And I'm not going to take a stance on either side, because I think they're both great. And that's one of the awesome things about it. One, it's a Disney game. Two, it's made by... who was it? It's Capcom for the Super Nintendo version, and for the Genesis version was... do you remember who?
Off the top of my head, no.
Oh, it was Virgin. Virgin Interactive. They made the Sega Genesis version. So two completely different companies, and they both managed to make great games. a great Aladdin game, which doesn't happen too often. Like, it almost never to get two separate companies on two separate consoles to make completely different games that are both great based on a Disney IP. That being said, there are lots of good Disney games, like you were saying, but there are also a lot of horrible ones. Can you think of any horrible ones that you want that you've played that you're just like, I could not play this?
Tailspin for the Nintendo. One of these games, if I remember correctly, it's just you're Baloo in the plane, and it's just not very good. I remember not liking that one, and like I said, that may be nostalgia glasses talking there, but if there was one Disney game, like I said, I didn't much care for, it was Tron Evolution, and this is, like I said, it's a newer game, came out back in 2010, and it controlled so weird, and I think this is before we figured out how to get parkour working right. I mean, because I think Assassin's Creed was 2007, 2008, so we're still in the infancy. This is just, I think Assassin's Creed 2 came out that year. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did. And it had gotten parkour right, and this game tries to, because, like, you can wall run stuff like that, but you don't move as smooth as Ezio. Nowhere near as smooth. And just the combat felt kind of clunky and kind of weird. And it sucks, though, because I thought, you know, making a Tron game should be really, really easy. Because you look at how...
I like the original Tron games where you're just a little light. See, yeah. You have to block the other light.
See, that's...
It's supposed to be a light cycle, but it really just looked like you were a little light.
You were basically playing Snake. Yeah. But yeah, I mean...
With another person.
You look at the classic Tron games, like you had Deadly Discs of Tron, you had... just the Tron game where you have to do, there's the disc fighting, there's the one where you have to go through to kill the MCP, there's Solar Sailor, which was crap, the Light Cycle one, as you mentioned, and I figured, alright, you've got a good legacy here. This should not be hard to fuck up. And yet somehow they did. I'm trying to think of other bad games that I didn't much care for.
It's really funny for me because I can't actually think of any bad Disney games, and there's a reason behind that. I'm not saying they're not out there, because looking at the list of Disney games, I am sure lots of these are horrible, like Winnie the Pooh in the 100-Acre Wood for the Amiga. Probably a bad game, but that's also because it's for the Amiga and, like, Commodore 64. Might be good. Maybe I'm wrong. Let me know.
One of the games... But... I you know what I can think of? I can think of games that were hard. Disney...
Oh, yeah.
One of the games that was really hard for me, there are two of them. The Lion King for the Super Nintendo.
Because it's on the Nintendo or Super Nintendo age. They're just hard games, and they're awesome because of it.
Well, I don't know. Like, I kind of want to go back and see if I can beat this game now. I got as far...
I'm telling you, you won't.
I got as far as Simba with Timon and Pumbaa, and you're on the waterfall. I think I've gotten to adult Simba once in my entire life.
Oh, you mean
life.
The waterfall with the freaking logs?
Yep, I got that far once.
See, it's funny with that game, because I've only played maybe the first level, and it was just testing because I got a copy in, resold it, and the game is just extremely hard. So I looked into it, and it's funny because when you're a kid, the game is extremely hard, which is the first couple of stages. And then when you grow up, you get like a claw attack, which makes the game considerably easier. So I didn't really understand why it's like, let's make the game extremely hard at the start, and then, you know, difficulty curve downward. But yeah, back to the reason I don't know of bad Disney games is because, oddly enough, as a kid, I loved Disney. I loved everything about their movies. I had a Disney movie collection. I had almost every single one of them on VHS. They're still somewhere. I don't have them with me. They'll be at my parents' or grandparents'. I'm not sure. But my brothers were always in control of what games we got. So we had, like, Final Fantasy, Zelda, stuff like that. It was more adult RPG-ish, some of the more like side-scrollers like Mega Man. So I never really saw any Disney games. So I never got to play good or bad ones, and it just kind of stuck with me and I avoided it. So most of the games that I have played Disney-wise have been at my current age where somebody's like, hey, this game is friggin' amazing. You have to go back and play it. So like I've gone and played Aladdin for a bit. I've played DuckTales for a bit, which I can see why it's one of the few games that has actually been remastered. Even though DuckTales hasn't been heard from in like 20 years, they're just like, hey, we're going to remaster that game. And it's still epic. Have you played DuckTales Remastered? I hope you have.
I
haven't because, you know.
And we had the weirdest glitch happen. Me and Scotty were playing this game the day of release. We were playing it on, I think I got this for the 360. Or maybe, yeah, I'm pretty sure I got this for the 360. And we were at the final part where you're racing against Gloomgold. You're trying to get to the top. And we died just as the timer hit zero. And we're literally on the platform. We were like a pixel away from touching the end, so it would have went to the end cutscene. The game detected us at the end cutscene. So it played the ending of the game. And then as soon as it transitioned into something else, we died. And we had to redo the entire thing again. So we saw the end of the game without actually having to beat it.
Weird.
Yeah, it was really freaking strange. But I remember Scotty getting so angry at this. Because for some reason, it was really hard, or we couldn't figure out the right path to get up for at least a couple of tries. And after watching him do it, I remember doing it fairly simply. That or it was the final boss. I know the final boss pissed him off something fierce.
Well, from my experiences, Scotty is a little bit over the top when it comes to picking out bad things about games. So
we are not like, starting that Ninja Turtles art thing again. Because he still makes fun of you for that.
I don't mean just that, but I mean, like, I've just noticed that it's like, if there's something bad with it, he will not let it go. He's
no.
Like, this is bad. This game is bad because of this. And it's like, can't we just continue playing the game and find other bad things with it?
No! Let's dwell on this one thing. But yeah, DuckTales Remastered, I would really love for them to come back and do Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
See, that is one game I did play as a kid, and I didn't know it was Disney at the time. Because,
really?
Like, when well, as a kid, you don't know a lot of things. I watched the show all the time, and I picked it up. It was like at a, not a hawk shop, but like a tech shop. It was like tech hawk shop, but they had video games and it was like $3. So I spent my allowance on it. And I loved that game because I loved the show. Like the game could have like kicked the crap out of me because I was young and sucked at games. But because I loved the show so much, I still wanted to play it. And as far as I know, it still lives up to today. I haven't played it in forever.
I still enjoyed last time. I think I played it for Rad about a year ago. I had a lot of fun with it. I don't think I got a chance to beat it though. I think I got right near the end and I think I ran out of continues or something or lives. I didn't know there was a sequel to it though. And that's the thing. And that's the thing. Whenever Capcom produces a Disney game, the first one is fantastic. The second one usually not so much. But they almost always get sequels. And I didn't know about Chippendales 2. Now, I had beaten DuckTales 2, which I actually thought was actually pretty cool.
See, funny thing about both of those games is they're a bit rare because they came out
at the end of the life cycle for the NES, right?
Yeah, I mean, near the end of it. So they're very expensive nowadays. So if you want to play them, I suggest, you know, other means than buying it off of eBay.
I think I've seen one copy, and I think Kevin or Sean, some of our mutual friends of the show, have found one once in the wild.
Yeah, and it was sold, I'm fairly sure, for the obscene price that they are.
Which, I'm kind of curious to see how much Chippendale Rescue Rangers 2 is going for on eBay. I'm just a little bit curious. So just give me a sec to look that up. Another Disney game that was really underrated, I thought, and not a lot of people played it, The Little Mermaid on the NES. You play as Ariel, obviously, and you are swimming around, and you have to catch bad guys in bubbles. And it's just, it's an incredibly nice-looking NES game. Really nicely drawn and definitive sprites. I just think it's fantastic. Great sound design.
I'm not sure, like, because I have never heard of anyone saying Little Mermaid was on, like, their top list, so I don't know if you're alone on this, because I haven't played it.
There are 15 currently available on eBay.
You're looking at Chippendale Rescue Rangers 2, right?
Yes.
It's early September right now, 2014. Yes. It is roughly worth $130, just the cartridge. So
the instruction booklet is worth $70.
Yeah.
Jesus!
Yes. Not exactly a common game. And when I say $130, it's between $130, $160, 80. Probably.
I found, although there is a Sega Genesis one, which is $20.
Chippendales was on Sega Genesis?
Evidently. I had no idea.
Odd. Genesis games are always a lot cheaper, just because generally games that came out late in an NES cycle
are almost always expensive.
They're almost always expensive, but they're, a lot of the times they get put onto the Super Nintendo or the Genesis as an early title, so they actually end up being really cheap for those consoles, if that happens. Doesn't happen often. Like DuckTales 2, I believe, what is it going for right now? DuckTales 2 for Nintendo, it is about the same price, about 120 loose, up to, you know, 160, depending on where you're getting it from. Downtown Toronto might be like 300, you never know.
Now, one game I completely forgot was a Disney title, and I liked this game as a kid. I recently replayed it just because
boredom. And then you hated it, or?
Yeah, really, really hated it. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? This was done by
Wait, that's Disney?
Yeah. It's considered a Disney game.
I did not know that Disney had anything to do with Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, it was released under Touchstone. But yeah, so playing through Who Framed Roger Rabbit. If there was a game
that bad, huh?
It's so frustrating because you have to find all the pieces of the will, but you have to get all this stuff. You have to get, like, a rattle for a snake. You have to get baseballs to defeat the weasels and all this other stupid shit. And it's a game where you literally spend 99% of the game walking into buildings, talking to people, saying, there's nothing here. Like, it's so boring. And I'm pretty sure the game has certain items in randomized locations, so you can never just run through it. I actually saw, I think it was a Let's Play or a full playthrough on YouTube, and it was like an hour and a half. And I'm thinking, if you knew where everything was in this game, you should be able to beat this in under half an hour. But no, it's because you literally have to walk around and find shit. It's so bad. And all you get is a text screen at the end. You've defeated Judge Doom and saved Toontowns for the lovable blah, 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 the Toons. And I'm like, oh my God.
How much you want to bet that the manual probably had, you should buy the Nintendo Power? Because it will help you through this game.
It did. There was a Nintendo Power issue where they had tips and tricks for this. I remember specifically, and if you watch the Angry Video Game Nerd episode on this as well, if you go to the Ink and Paint Club, there's a phone number on a table where Jessica Rabbit says to call her. And in the 80s when this game came out, it was a hint line saying, hey, you need to go here and here, and it was a pre-recorded voice of whoever Jessica Rabbit was. I want to say it was Kathleen Turner. I'm probably wrong on that one. But now it's a sex line for anal or something. I don't know. It's something really messed up.
I don't know if I should ask you this, but how do you know this?
Well, James,
have you called it?
I could.
We should call it and put it on the air.
I could almost hook us into a call. and see what happens. You know what? We're going to do that. So, guys, we'll be right back, and we're going to see what happens when we call the Roger Rabbit number. So sit tight, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. So I got the phone number plunked in here. So for those of you that are curious, it's 1-800-232-3324. Now, I have not done this before, so we do not know what is going to happen with this. So we're going to see what happens now. So
this should be good.
This should be good. I'm hoping so. Otherwise, this is going to be really lame. So we're dialing now. I think.
It's...
It's ringing. Come on, hot anal sex. Hello?
I don't hear anything.
Ah, it doesn't work. I'm sad face. I was really hoping that
must have been disconnected or something.
I was really hoping that bit would turn out better. You know what I should have done? I should have just dialed some random sex number so we had something here. So, sorry, guys. That should have been a lot funnier than what it was. Lame!
Well, you can at least say that we went the extra mile and actually called them.
There we go, folks. That is how we do things here on the prototype.
Trying to call anal sex lines for you guys. Yep.
You gotta find a way to hide that in the episode. Like, it's like, find out what happens when we call Roger Rabbit from the year 2014. Oh my god, that was... Anyway, moving on. Other Disney games that I remember... I'm trying to think if I remember this fondly or not so fondly. Toy Story.
I've heard a lot of good things about the Toy Story games.
I got boned when I played this game. There's one platforming section where you have to use Woody's pull string to swing across.
I think that's like the entire game is him using the pull string. That's like his platforming thing.
There's one section I just could never get past. I remember being stuck in Andy's room, if I remember correctly. Although I remember Toy Story 3. On the Xbox 360 being really, really fun, actually, because they had, it was kind of the proto beginnings of Disney Infinity.
Yeah, didn't it have like the sandbox mode that Disney Infinity has?
Yeah, basically, yeah. It had the toy box mode. You could screw around and do all things you can do more or less in Disney Infinity. And I just remember that being surprisingly fun for a modern Disney game.
I know the Toy Story for Super Nintendo and possibly the Sega Genesis, they used the similar thing that Donkey Kong Country used, so where it was 3D models, then they took it and made that into the sprite, so it looked 3D, like looked kind of realistic. I know they did that for the actual art style of the first Toy Story, which was really cool. Seeing it go from your big screen onto your smaller screen, and it looked very similar to the movies. There is one game that I've been meaning to pick up because every reviewer that I've ever seen has enjoyed this game. Let's players love playing it together. Goof Troop for the Super Nintendo is also made by Capcom. Capcom had a lot of the Disney games. Between Capcom and Virgin, they had a lot of the good ones. Which is funny because now when you think Capcom or you think like, yeah.
You think inconsistent anyway. At best.
Yeah. You think you might get something good or you might just get nickeled and dimed out of all your money. But yeah, the Goof Troop game was very cooperative where you played as the dad and the son. And it was great. It was probably better to play it two player than single player. Because you got to use a lot of teamwork. And so it was like solving puzzles, but also having a little like action adventure. So it was like Zelda, but Disney, which that's an amazing concept. Like I said, I haven't played it yet. I want to get it and, you know, go through it just because it looks really fun.
One of the games that I really thought was surprising for it to come out, there's actually been a number of Disney music games. Surprisingly, there's Just Dance Disney Party, which came out for the 360 and the Wii. There is a SingStar Disney, if I remember correctly. I remember giving that to a friend of mine in college, because she really digs Disney. Plus, I think she was really hot. But I was dating Blair at the time, so obviously that went nowhere, and I hope she didn't hear this part of the conversation.
Somebody's going to the doghouse.
Yep, going straight to hell. And there was a Dance Dance Revolution. Actually, there were a couple of them based on Disney games, and I remember...
Is it Disney Mix or something?
Something like that. And it's weird that there are off-brands of Dance Dance Revolution. I remember there was a Mario one, too.
There was everything for Dance Dance Revolution, man. Just like how there was everything for Guitar Hero and Rock Band. It's just how it worked.
I was just happy I got Green Day Rock Band. I was so, so thrilled when that came out. And I got my Metallica, I got Aerosmith, and the Beatles. I can't think of anybody else I really would have wanted.
Dance Revolution. Disney Dancing Museum. Museum? What? Why?
I'm just looking at the different people you get, or the different songs you get for Just Dance Disney. Let me see. You get stuff from... I've never heard of the Ant Farm, which evidently there's a song called Calling All Monsters. You get Everything Is Not What It Seems from Wizards of Waverly Place. Oh, Everybody boy. Wants to Be a Cat from the Aristocrats. That might be fun.
Yeah.
Let me see. Hoedown Throwdown by Miley Cyrus from Hannah Montana the movie. let me see what else. You get a song from Tangled, which is I've Got a Dream. It's a Small World, no shit. Let me see. Supercalilistic, what name I can't pronounce. You get a song from Enchanted, the Muppet Show theme, which is pretty cool. You get something from Camp Rock, The Little Mermaid, High School Musical. Although you don't get, I'm looking, the song you get from The Little Mermaid is Under the Sea, but you don't get the song that Ariel sings where she wants to be where the people are, and I can't remember how that song goes.
You know, speaking of music, that's one of the reasons a lot of these good Disney games actually are good is because
fantastic soundtracks.
Yeah, they have fantastic soundtracks, usually based on whatever movie or songs, etc., songs that were in either the movie or series that they're based on. They either have great remixes or direct ports, so they just have great soundtracks. One of the few games that I hadn't heard of until recently, what was it for? I think it was Nintendo. Darkwing Duck. It was also made by Capcom, and apparently it's
very... a reskin Mega Man 5.
Yeah, it's like a Mega Man game, runs on the Mega Man engine, and that's why it's freaking amazing. So I kind of want to play that too. I don't know how much those are. I haven't ever seen one. Like, I haven't come across one during
hunting.
Yes, my hunting and store trades or anything.
I've had one before, and I think it cost me about $20.
Yeah, sounds about right. I mean, generally good games are around the $20-$30 mark. You can find them for cheaper, obviously, in certain ways. Did you ever play the Gargoyles game? I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I've never actually looked it up or seen it.
I didn't even know there was a Gargoyles game until I started looking up, but then again, I really shouldn't have been, because this was the point when the Disney Afternoon didn't suck. And if there ever was a property that should be adapted to a game, it should be Gargoyles.
Well, it was for the Sega Genesis, apparently, in 1995. So that's why I thought maybe you'd played it, because you were big into the Genesis, and I was Super Nintendo, so...
Well, actually, it's funny. I didn't become Genesis until I started collecting. I had one when I was a kid, and I had maybe 20 games for my Genesis, but... yeah, I was a Super Nintendo kid pretty much all the way up until the PlayStation for a long, long time, so...
The more you know...
But yeah, I had no idea about that one, so I hope it doesn't suck. I wouldn't mind going back and playing it. I'm pretty sure I've got it on, probably have it on one of my emulators here somewhere. Do I have Genesis? Pretty sure I do.
Not that we, condone pirating, but
the game's a million years old. They can deal
this
with
is
it.
True. This is true. They're not going to make money from it if it's bought at this point anyway. Unless, yeah, I don't think it's on their virtual store. So if it's on, if any of the games are ever on the virtual store, we highly suggest supporting the companies that make them by buying it from them. But if they do not exist in any shape, way, or form other than eBay, that money will never see the developer's hands.
Exactly.
So emulate it.
Exactly.
That's when we condone it.
It's a lot of who gives a shit.
Now, when it comes to recording stuff, anytime I go to record something, I generally will show that, hey, I have the game, but I'm going, out of convenience, use the emulation because it's going to look better for you guys.
Well, but, yeah. Honestly, if they could sell legal flash carts like they have to back up, quote unquote, your games, I would buy those. Here, pay $200, you get everything that was released back then, because a lot of these companies aren't around anymore, and it's not like they're licensing their stuff anymore. So I don't know. I always found that kind of funny.
Now, I've got a really cool, well, not cool, but interesting story.
All right.
And it comes to the last set of games, because there's tons of Disney games. We've just talked about the ones that we like, which ones we think are bad. If you guys have anything that you wanted to add in, send us a message, feedback@thisweekingeek.net.
Yep.
Yes. I don't know why I always want to say .com. I think it's just programmed into my brain that all websites are .com, but they're not. Or on our Facebook page, which will be in the description down below. The Kingdom Hearts games. There is more than six of them now, and there's going to be Kingdom Hearts 3 coming out sometime. They have been remixing them. The Kingdom Hearts HD Remix 1.5, I think, came out, and 2.5 is coming out soon. There's a really sad reason why I never played these. I have all of them just because as a Square Enix collector, I had to buy them, but hadn't played them. I didn't pick them up when they first came out because I thought they were Disney games, which is a stupid reason. I thought, hey, these games must be kiddie. They're all about, Mickey and Goofy running around being silly. So I never picked them up. So I lost out on that entire thing because I guess the marketing that appeared to me was not that it's made by Square Enix and that it is more like a Final Fantasy RPG with Disney elements, which is how anyone that doesn't know anything about it, that's what it is. It's a Final Fantasy RPG with Square Enix Disney characters all merged into a fantastic world, from what people tell me. I haven't played it.
So basically, you can have, like, Mickey and Goofy fighting Sephiroth.
Yeah.
And I think,
as well as your main character, who is brand new just to Kingdom Hearts. But he's like a merger between a Disney character and a Square Enix Final Fantasy character.
I think his name is Sora, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Sora, and then in some of the later ones you play as, like, another guy. But I am going to get around to playing the entire series soon, probably live streaming it, possibly as a YouTube thing. But I just can't decide whether I want to play through all of the original games or just do the 1.5 and 2.5 remix.
That's what I'm going to do.
See, and it's one of those things is, I don't know if all of the games are actually within 1.5 and 2.5 remix, because I've been told that it's like in 1.5 you get one and then like Chain of Memories, but not like one of the other games that should be in there in theory, like in the timeline. And then like 2.5, there's rumors that it's only like two and like Birth by Sleep, or I don't know. I haven't researched into it because I'm not a huge Kingdom Hearts fan yet. So I might just play through all the originals, have a shittier graphic quality, but I don't know. I've had way too many people tell me that I am, like, doing myself an injustice by not playing them. So it's getting there. I'm about to do it, but feedback, tell me on the Facebook page, send me a message, something. Tell me whether I should wait for the remix. People that have played the HD 1.5, should I play 1.5 and wait for 2.5 remix, play both of those, or just play through all the originals? Let me know.
So I guess what else can we really say about Disney games? I mean, I know we've glossed over a lot of them, but like Jamie said, I'd love to hear from you guys. Are there some games we missed that might be really good? Maybe the Phineas and Ferb games are good. Maybe there's a hidden gem in the Kim Possible. I'm really doubting there's a good Hannah Montana game, but you never know.
I know I've heard a lot of good things about the Magical Quest series for Super Nintendo. It's Disney's Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse. And then there's also one for the Sega Genesis. There's a series of that too.
Castle of Illusion or whatever?
Yeah, the Castle Illusion series or something.
And I think it was re-released for the for the PS3 last year.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Well, then it must be good. Yeah, other than that, if there's any other games, let us know, because we like Disney games as long as they're good. But I'm probably not going to play the Disney Princess games. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, like I said, Little Mermaid was cool.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if it's really good for an adult male, then let me know.
Hey, games are meant for everybody, motherfucker.
I know, but the Disney Princess ones, I...
Turn in your man card, and you damn well play your Disney Princess games with pretty pink bows in your hair. You like it!
If you get me a pretty pink bow, I will wear it for one of my live streams.
I'll find you a pretty pink bow between now and X14.
I'll do it for, the event we do every...
Extra Life. Oh, Extra, yeah!
That one, yeah.
Which, I want to talk about that for just a couple of minutes. So as you guys know, Extra Life is happening on October 25th this year.
Obviously.
October 25th. As I have always, I'm going to be playing for Toronto Sick Kids Hospital.
I will as well.
You can find more information for me at birdmangivesback.com. That's my direct donation link. 100%. Of all the donations go directly to Toronto Sick Kids and the Children's Miracle Network Hospital. And basically, it helps give kids video games or role-playing games or board games. It basically gives kids something to distract them from having to face your own mortality. Like I said, I can't imagine being a 5-year-old saying, you know what, your liver's shutting down, so we'll see you tomorrow.
Well, I'm also going to be doing the Extra Life. I don't have a fancy website. We'll post links to our the Extra Life Foundation pages to donate. Well, at least for me, we'll put your actual website since yours just automatically links to it.
Or if you look on the right side of the page here, there's my donation thing right there on the side, which I gotta send a shout out to Mike and Mark, who've already donated. I'm trying to raise $500. I'm already 12% of the way there. Nice. No, sorry, 22%.
Have they already started for your profile this year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll have mine set up after this episode, because I didn't know they started yet.
Yeah, I've actually already had Toronto Sick Kids Hospital retweet me a couple of times, so I'm hoping... My goal is this year, and this is ambitious as hell, I'd love to get one donation every hour of $25. I am starting Friday night at midnight, October 24th, and I'm going to Sunday at noon. This is going to suck.
Don't worry, I will. I'll make sure I'm on VoiceCom with you the entire time, or maybe I'll stop by. I don't know what hours I'm going to be doing yet or what game, but what I'll do is choose whatever games you're not playing. I will play them. That way our viewers can check you out. They can check me out. Say you're playing something they don't like, they can come check out mine. Or if I'm playing something they don't like, they can come check out yours.
Yeah.
That way we keep the money heading to Sick Kids. The reason I do it every year, I've actually had two cousins that have had treatment from Sick Kids Hospital. It's a great place that's basically, if you have a very weird illness as a child, or even just normal illnesses have issues, they are dedicated to helping kids more than so adults, like a regular hospital. My cousin Ryan Collins, he had a terminally ill disease when he was 17. He had had a disease where he had to have blood transfusions and other things every month for his entire life, and they helped him out tremendously throughout his lifetime. And when it was coming to an end, they gave him everything that they possibly could. So I like to try to give back to them in any way, shape, or form that I can every year by doing Extra Life. And we get to choose which foundation that we want the money to be sent to, that we play the games for. And that's why I choose Toronto Sick Kids every year. So any and all proceeds that we get will be sent directly to them. I believe the link just goes straight to them. I'm not sure how that whole PayPal thing works. It doesn't come to us, though. It just goes straight to that organization, I think. Yeah. You probably know more about it than me.
Yeah, basically, it all goes through. It's completely secure. You can do credit card. You can do PayPal. Any number of different ways. It all goes to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital of your choice. So with that in mind, we are going to have an episode next week. It'll be our roundup from X14, what we saw on the floor. We might have a couple of interviews if I bring the equipment with us. And we'll just kind of see what happens from the floor there. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Once again, if you want to get involved in the show, call 817-717-7202. Or you can email feedback@thisweekingeek.net, or there is our Facebook page,
which is facebook.com/twig, T-W-I-G, dot, the actual period symbol, prototype, I believe. It'll be in the link in the description, because I always forget what I made it, because I was trying to involve twig and prototype.
But yeah, it's always there, so hopefully you guys will check that out. And as always, watch our Twitters and our Facebooks for when we start doing streaming. I typically stream at night. Usually Titanfall or Assassin's Creed, so there's always something there.
I stream whenever I'm playing video games, which could be morning, could be night, could be, you know, middle of the day. I am very random with when I'm on. A lot of times I'll send a tweet out on Twitter, or I'll post on the Prototype Facebook page. Yeah, and we'll have both of our Twitters, Twitch channels. All of our information will be down in the description of this episode. So I've been Jamie JJ Johnston, and you've been
Mike the Birdman Dog.
And cancer sucks, so play video games to kill it. Yes. Yes.